John, the 5th chapter, 1st verse. And there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whatsoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped into it was made whole, or was whosoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Would thy be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another step down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, let me just talk to you what God spoke to me to talk to you about tonight. I asked my daughter, I said, you could tape it for your sister, but I asked her deliberately not to put this on Facebook because this is for this house. There's some things that God want to speak to you as an individual. God is here to deal with your long-standing issues. He's here to deal with your long-standing issues. Not only that, God is about to meet you at the place of your excuses. He's here to meet you at your long-standing issues, and God is also going to meet you at the place of your excuses. We look at this and we see the condition that we're in. You see the sick by the pool. We look at this. Jerusalem is a place of peace. Now, here was Jerusalem, and here is the church. Jerusalem is a place of peace, but there are multitudes who are not peaceful. Jerusalem is a place of blessings, but there are people who are not blessed. Jerusalem is supposed to be a place of healing and deliverance, but there are people lying around in bondage. And the name of the pool, Bethesda, translated to house of mercy. Yet people are there who have not received mercy, rather are sick, blind, and lame. The pool of Bethesda was outside of Jerusalem. So here Jesus is on his way to the temple, and this is outside where all of this is going on. Outside of the place of worship, outside of the place of prayer. And we have all of this going on. And we're looking at this condition of the church too. We have worship going on and we have prayer going on, but yet outside of the church, you're still dealing with people who are still blind, who are still lame, who still are lost, while they're walking and we're worshiping and praising God. But it's just not outside, because there are people who come in church and they're still in bondage. So here are the great multitudes of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the move of the water. They were waiting on a move of the water. The condition of many of us today is that we are waiting for something. You know, I was in Nigeria years ago. I've been going to Nigeria for over 20 some years, but years ago I was in Nigeria, and I think when the Sheraton, there was no portiere across the street. Sheraton was really the hotel that everybody had to go to if you wanted to go there. And I would get up in the morning for breakfast, and I'd see these people in the lobby. And then I would get up to go back in the room, and it was time to go to church, and I would go to church and come back, and I still saw those same people in the lobby. Then I would go to church at night and come back, and it's late, and those same people were sitting in the lobby. So I just went over one day and asked them, I said, "Do you work here?" Because this went on for 3 days. They said, no, we just come here to look. We looking. You looking. I said, what are you looking for? Well, we waiting on something to happen. We don't know what's going to happen, but we waiting and looking. And you know, that's how the church is. That's how we operate sometimes when we're dealing with God. We say, well, I'm just here waiting and I'm looking. We ain't doing nothing to it to help our situation. We just sit there and we look. Because then I came a year later and those same people were sitting in that same spot doing what? So, we are sitting there and we say we're waiting for some great emotion to engulf us so that we can be sure they are that's the presence of God. The condition of many of us today is that we are waiting for something. There are many who go to church waiting for some great emotion. There are those who have not given their lives to Christ are just waiting for some great movement of God. There are those who are waiting who have their eyes on businesses and they're waiting for something to happen so that they can get this quick, rich, quick scheme. There are those who are waiting for something that has happened to an individual they know to happen to them also. The many of us are not making any progress in life because we're waiting, waiting, waiting. And what we all need to do is move out in faith and trust in the one who has called us. But the question is, what are you waiting for? Now, here is the problem. This man has been going to the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. 38 years waiting for somebody to put him in there or what? Seemed like he would have got some kind of strategy in 38 years. Or somebody could have helped him. If everybody had pulled together and had a strategy, they all could go in together. But it's like a lot of people, you know, especially when I start prophesying to people, people don't care what you're going through. They be like, oh, I need a word. I need a word. They never pray and say, God, give who those who need one but worse than me the word, and I will receive the word. Because we've come in and we're not careful. We say, God, bless me and me only. And so you got all these people here, if they had pulled together, had a strategy, or they strategized, they would have been able to have everybody get in the pool because it was at the same time every year. And yet, here is this man for 38 years. You would think after the first and second year, he would be tired, huh? Then he says to Jesus, sir, I have no man to help me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down. Now, this is a major problem because many of us are living below our potential because we're still waiting on people to bail us out. I've never seen so many grown people still living with their parents and the parents are still taking care of them. People in their 30s and their 40s. And their parents are still taking care of them because they're waiting on someone to bail them out. And let me give you the prophetic word. This really should help you. So here's a man. He has excuses. And so as we look at this, he struggled outside the temple. And the thing is that God is looking and the world is looking for those of you that are glory carriers with some evidence. You cannot just carry God's glory without having evidence. Somebody should be able to look you in the face and know there's something that you have that will change their life. And that God is not pouring into us just to pour into us, but he's pouring into us so that we can make a difference with somebody else. Yes, we cannot sit and stand for 38 years. Struggling. God wants to empty us out so he could pour back in us. So if this man has been lame for 38 years, that means he has weakness structure of his body. He's lame. There's no one to help me. He said, there's no one to help me to help me to get where I need to go. But God is, this season that we're in, God is pushing people back from you. Because he's trying to get the church to begin to consult the Lord and begin to cry out to God that you don't depend on other people to give you the breakthrough. That God would just deliberately move everybody out of the way to make sure it's just you and him. We can't sit and depend on people. God says, I will push them out of your way so that this, what I'm about to do for you, no one will be able to take the credit what I'm about to do for you. He said, I'll put you in a place in this very hour that I don't want you to sit up here and wait for 38 years for somebody to help you where you need to go. God says, you got to be able to trust me and me alone. Because he said, put your trust in no man. He said, but lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me. And God says, I will direct you to the things that I have for you. 38 years. No one to help me. He's had an excuse. Water to stir it up together. No one. God is getting ready to meet you at the places of your excuses. God loves us so much that when we make excuses, why, God, the reason why I didn't do this because so-and-so didn't help me. And the reason why I don't have this because this person didn't help me. And you know, you blame and you have excuses. And God says, I've got to show up in the midst of your excuses. I'm going to meet you in the middle of your excuses and show you that I God, want to make you whole. Amen. The worst thing you could do is have a conversation with someone. You ask them why you didn't finish school, why you weren't at church, why you weren't at prayer meeting. You ever had someone that always have an excuse? You know, I used to get my hair done in Dallas, and I kid you not, this is the honest to God truth. For 1 year, the girl did my hair, and every appointment I had was an excuse. And so I kept the text. I left my keys. I had a flat tire. Then sometimes she ran out of excuses, and it would just become lies. For 1 year, always. So one day when we got to the salon, I just looked at her. I said, God could never use you past your salon. She said, why is that? I said, if you were on the set doing someone's hair, you have to be on time to be on the set. And I said, God would never use you. Not only that, a man who doesn't understand time doesn't understand finances. If you abuse time, God is not going to trust you with finances. Always late. Don't have no kind of order. Don't plan for nothing. And God is saying, I want to elevate you, but I can't do that because you keep making excuses. But God loves us so much, he'll meet you at the point of your excuses and still try to bring you out. But would you listen? Because if God's going to take Wisdom Assembly Family Church to another level, he's first got to birth it in the people to go to another level. You got to be ready to go to another level. No one can push you there but yourself. You got to be the one to praise him. You got to be the one to get up and call out to God. You got to be the one to say, no more excuses. I'm waiting on my papers. But God didn't bring you here to tease you. So while you're waiting on your papers to get done, why don't you say, God, give me creativity in what I need to do. And if I put you first, God says, then I know that everything gonna be all right. God didn't bring you from another country for you to sit up here and make excuses. That's crazy. Whatever your hand find to do, do it. Let me tell you something. I just left Kenya. And so Kenya's a little bit different than Nigerians. They don't want you to know how rich they are. Nigerians, you know. You know. Y'all know it's the truth. And they'll tell you about their children. You know my daughter is a lawyer. You know my daughter is a doctor. My son, he's a pharmacist. I asked my daughter one time, I said, your friend work at the pharmacy. I said, oh, does he, what did I say? I said, about the pharmacy, you tell my mama, you know Nigerians, they're pharmacists. They don't do nothing. They don't work in pharmaceutical tech. They don't sell the drugs. They go and they distribute the drugs. Which is true. People don't realize that pharmaceutical sales make a lot of money too. So, you know, one of my daughters went to school for mortuary science. And so one of my friends in Nigeria said, well, if I was to introduce her, I'll say she's a scientist. I said, we won't say mortuary because that's dead. You know she's a scientist. So when you go to Kenya, they don't let you know they have a lot of money. So they'll be filthy rich and you don't even know. And I'm talking about like rich, rich, rich. I mean like billionaires and stuff. And so we had to go to the village and pray for someone. And I was with the vice president and his wife. So the helicopter landed to pick us up. And I only had been on a helicopter one time. And so she was just like, it ain't going to take that long. And I knew she didn't tell me how long it was going to take. So I texted everybody and told them to pray. So we get up in the helicopter. We high up, beautiful. And the pilot, it's 2 hours. 2 hours on a helicopter? Really? I was just a shanda the robo shit. Kenyans are not loud, they quiet. All of a sudden I saw this black thing coming. So immediately, you know, I thought it was a demon. I said, oh shut that up. But it wasn't. It was a bald eagle. A Kenyan bald eagle. The wing was the size of the app of the helicopter. It was so big. And I was thinking to myself, I didn't think that first. So I was like, oh, God, he's coming at us. And I looked down. I said, I can't die in Kenya. Oh, God. And I, oh, no, that's too much to try to ship me back home. So the pilot was able to maneuver itself. And that eagle just soared. That wing. And then it just was like, God was saying, you'll mount up as wings. If you had seen that wing, I was like, God, if you use the eagle as an illustration, how we mount up, there was no other bird around because there's no one that could fly that high. That eagle stands in a category by itself. Y'all got to get this. And God uses the eagle as illustration. I don't know why you go around comparing yourself to other people. There's nobody like you. You're in a category all by yourself. And God says when you mount up, you won't mount up at a different, on a regular level. He says your wings will take you where nobody else has ever been. Y'all got to get this up in here. You're going places where nobody else has ever been. You're doing stuff that nobody else has ever done. Why are you trying to compare yourself with folk? There's nobody like you. I looked at that bald eagle, and when it missed us, it kept right on soaring. I was like, man, this thing, this wing was almost bigger than the helicopter. I was like, wow. God was trying to show me something. My husband, did you take a picture? Honey, I thought I was dying. I was trying to take no picture. Mount up. So then, when we got to the next mountain, it started raining. I said, oh, God. And then that thing dropped real low where the valley at. I was like, God, just let your child be able to go back home peacefully. And the vice president's wife was over in the corner like, Jesus, there's a bald eagle. There's a bald eagle. Because when you're used to seeing it, it doesn't bother you. And she was saying, you know, a lot of people don't get a chance to see a bald eagle. They don't come out much. It just would be when, come out when I'm there. So God is trying to get you at a point where you understand that he didn't bring you to Kansas City to tease you or bring you to Missouri to tease you. There's something special going on with you that he wants to pull out to make a difference. Now, the issue is we get comfortable, and what we do is that we go to Nigeria, and when we come back and we go come to America, we have a tendency to only congregate with what's comfortable for us. So if you're Nigerian, I'm Nigerian, so we're comfortable. But you don't realize that God didn't bring you here for you to be comfortable. See, the issue with the man with the 38 years is that he got comfortable in being lame. And it's a lot of us have gotten comfortable in being lame, in being broke, in being sick, and being struggling. God, you should never ever get comfortable in being lame. Because that is not the will of God. It's not the will of God for you to go 38 years being comfortable. So God's got to come and meet you at your point, at your season of excuses, to make sure that if I don't touch you right now, you might go another 38 years. There were a whole lot of other people that was there that needed a healing from Jesus. What made this man so different? Jesus looked at him because Jesus looked at a person who had a lot of excuses, who was never going to get in that water. If he wasn't in the water 38 years, he definitely wasn't going to get in the water 38 more years. Who was going to die on the mat. He says, I don't have a man to put me in. And then he says, they step all over me. No strategies, huh? So God says, look, listen. I'm about to deal with your long-standing issues. We got issues that we have had in our lives as long-standing. And God says, tonight I got to deal with your long-standing issues. Because if I don't deal with your long-standing issues, you'll go another 20 years with the same thing. And I don't know about you. See, I went in that helicopter because that was uncomfortable for me. You know, I'm not used to being in no helicopter. I don't drive, I don't jump up on no helicopter and go from villages to villages like that. But when you got a lot of money, you just need to pick you up at your house, take it, and you'll be back. That was uncomfortable for me. Going to another country was uncomfortable for me. Going to different villages was uncomfortable for me. I was not used to seeing some of the stuff that I saw in the villages. But there was something that God wanted, that I had, that God wanted me to release in those villages. And they were waiting for it. And God says, I've got to come and get you out of your comfort zone. Because if I don't, you'll stay in the place of excuse and you'll stay lame and never receive or reach your full potential. So the Lord said, look at this. I'm going to show you this. No one. So God looks at him, 38 years. Long-standing issue. So God says, if I don't go after you, he said, I don't understand why you don't pursue your destiny. So this is what happens with the body of Christ. If you get a little backache, it don't bother me. I'm not going to deal with it. I'll learn how to sleep. So what I'll do is I'll sleep on this side. Because if I sleep on this side, I have the pain. So if I sleep on this side, I don't have the pain. So what we have learned is how to live with pain. All of a sudden, the pain moves on the side that you were used to. So now you can't sleep on this side, and you can't sleep on this side. So now you got to sleep right here. Not even thinking to get rid of it yet. I could deal with it. I could handle this. But what we don't understand is that this is what the body of Christ does. And this is the truth. We fight battles once we're in the battle. We never fight battles before the battle. And so we fight battles when we're in the battles. We don't fight battles before the battles. When I give prophetic words, don't you know the devil hears it too? When you're speaking to other people and telling them what you're about to do, don't you think the devil hears you too? So you don't, because he hears you, that's why you say, God, with every prophetic word that goes out, anything that tries to resist it, you begin to go in battle just before your word.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You don't wait till you get a baby to provide for it. You begin to speak over your body and say, before my baby comes, it will come out, it will be right, there will be no problems. You don't wait till the baby come out and there's a lot of problems, then you want to go in warfare. You warfare before the battle.
Come on now.
People were laughing at me. When I was coming up, I said, I will not have hot flashes. I'm not going to die at 61. And they were laughing. I'm not going to have bumps in my face. I'm not going to have bumps when people going through it. That's just what they got. I don't want no bumps in my face. I don't want to shave. I don't have no hair. I don't want no hair on my legs. And today I don't have no hair on my legs. Y'all laughing, but I spoke it. And I spoke that thing when I was young. Oh, glory to God. I said, I will live and I will not go through what my mother went through. When I saw my mother with arthritis, when I saw it attach itself to her in her 40s, I began to war for my future when I saw what was happening with hers. I said, Lord, my children will not have it. My children's children will not have it. And I will not have it. But what do? We want to have a big prayer meeting when all the battle, when all the hell is broken loose. Y'all don't even understand the power of God that you have. So the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. Y'all just sitting up there. You know, I be sitting up there. I said, Lord, I thank you for this carpet that it will not wear out. Lord, I thank you for the light fixtures, that there will be not one to blow out. I thank you for the pipes that's running in through the system, that it will not, nothing will never burst. I thank you for my car. It will never break down. Am I talking to a church right now? I thank you for the sound system. It won't wear out. We'll just replace it because it's outdated. Glory to God. I thank you for the chairs, God, that it won't wear itself out. It'll keep going and going and going. If you can preserve life, you can preserve those chairs. Nobody pray for that. Then you wait until it's a problem. Lord, I thank you for the roof. When the last time you went on the roof and anointed the roof? We will not have to replace a roof. You know how much it costs to replace a roof? The devil ain't got to hit you with sickness to put a hole in your roof. You'll be a congregation, people at the parish. We need help. Water just leaking. See, we need help. Hole in the roof. You take care of the roof. You cover the roof. You cover it by the blood of Jesus. The roof is just as important. Y'all better get this up in here. It's just as important as the things that's going on in your house. It's just as important. So your battle will not, we have unnecessary battles just because we don't cover stuff before it happens. When you're lame, you have decreasing range of motion, loss of muscles, abdomen posture when standing, getting up, lying down, or sitting, abnormal walking, nervous system signs. I lay hands on my body at night. I oil it down. Lord, I thank you for all the knees working. Y'all wait till the knee ain't working. Come in. Why don't you just take care of it? If you ain't got no knee problem, just start laying hands on your knees now. So you won't be coming in here like that. I got a young husband. I can't be walking next to him with knee problem. Hold on. Mm-mm, that ain't cute. Okay. So, let me give you this and I'm going to pray. Bethesda was a pool of mercy. Jerusalem is supposed to be a place of peace. Jerusalem is supposed to be a place of blessing and healing. Jesus is asking you the same question. Do you really want to get out of poverty? Do you really want to get a better job? Do you really want control over your environment? Don't let it be 38 years and you're still in your comfort zone. Withholding, let me tell you something. If the church is not careful, what we're doing is that we're withholding truth from people because we don't want to hurt their feelings. We can't do that. God is constantly telling us it's time for us to go forth in the things of what he has called you to do. So that's why he said in his word, he told me when he was speaking to me, he was like, here's the situation. God is about to meet you at the place of your excuses, but God is here to deal with your long-standing issues. What are some of your long-standing issues? We're here to break patterns. What are some of the patterns that's in your family? What are some of the things that y'all just keep accepting? We're not going to accept it. Oh, I wish I knew about this before I start having children. Because I would have started speaking over my children. If I had asthma, they will not have asthma. If I had to struggle with poverty, they will not walk in poverty. I sat and looked and saw a lot of my siblings did not finish high school. And I began to pray and make sure that none of my children would have to experience that. And I'm telling you right now, they all went to school and they all went to college. My God. Because I began to speak that thing over them. Glory to God. They're going to go higher than I have gone. No, I didn't go to law school, but I went to school. I challenged them because I began to speak that over their life. No, you're not going to settle for mediocre. And y'all need to understand that every single day that you get comfortable in your situation, you are not serving a common God. You're serving an uncommon God who wants his people to be uncommon. There's nothing about you that's going to be common. Nothing about you gonna be common. And you know, that's why the Bible says you're peculiar people. You're a royal priesthood, my God. You're from the royalty. You're from a royal family. And you're peculiar. Yes, you're weird because it's uncommon. You're doing stuff ain't nobody else have ever done. And that's why when you share it with people, they look at you like you're crazy. You got to get to the point that you stir up the gifts that's within you and you stop being lazy and get up and stop making excuses and say, God, you brought me to this place, and where you brought me, God can use anywhere to make sure he blesses you. You'll do better than you ever done when you allow God to come to the places of your excuses and to take you out of that place and take you to the place where he wants you to be on track for your destiny. He sent you to this place because you don't realize that everybody that's around you, they're locked in your destiny. And this is what I like about Kenyans. Kenyans are always talking business. So after church, they don't talk about what you eating, what you doing. They want to know what kind of work you do. Okay. They're always trying to collaborate to see what type of business they're going to get together and do. You're not at church just to have church. You're here because there's businesses that's in here. There's businesses that's locked in you. I have a business partner in Kenya, and nobody even know it. I saw when I was there. I told one girl, I said, that's my business partner right there. She waved at me. Nobody got to know you. See, Kenyans don't like nobody to know they're making money. They'll be filthy rich and be sitting up there looking at you. Now, y'all know, I think, being from the hood, we some like the Nigerians too. We put Louis Vuitton hat, Louis Vuitton belt, Louis Vuitton shoes, Gucci everywhere, Gucci, Gucci, Gucci. we wear the whole jewelry store. But God is trying to tell us, see, the thing is that you didn't come to this church just to have church. You came here to become the church. So you need to be start talking to each other to find out, what do you do? Oh, you do. You know, I had a women's meeting in our church, and I began to have everybody stand up and tell me what their gifting is. And I told them, I said, I want you to pair yourself off with that group of people. Some people like pets. And I said, okay, then you need to open up a pet spa. You know, in Orlando, them folks be spending lots of money on them dogs. The mother races be kissing all on their dogs. So then you just give them a spa. Come on, fight. Come on here. Look at here. Big business. And they have 30 days to get a proposal together. And do you not know they are so excited because now they're starting business. I said, there's a pet spa. I said, how many of you like elderly people? Everybody raise a hand. Okay, what is in this community is we need a daycare for elderly people. When people got to go somewhere, they're caretakers, they need somewhere to drop their elderly folks off. And then you also need to be able to go to their house and babysit them. That's a need. So what happened was we went to the village in Kenya and trained all the people in the village in Kenya to sell eggs and all kinds of stuff. And they said that here it was 10 years later, every poor person that was poor in Kenya in those villages are multimillionaires. 30,000 of them came to the auditorium in Nairobi to celebrate 10 years of being out of poverty. Oh, y'all gotta get this. Because God is trying to get us to the place where we stop being like crabs in a bucket. We start pulling together in unity. And we say, what kind of business that you have? Let's get it together. So anyway, we formed about 20 businesses in just the women's department. I told them, I said, now we're having this women's meeting and we ain't going to talk about your rejection and your molestation and you hurting and all that. I said, you've been hurt for 30 years. Ain't nothing changed. Let's get some money. Because the Bible says money is the answer to all things. Didn't it say that? My mother called me. I called my mother on the phone. She said, I'm sick today. I said, okay. I said, well, I call you because I wanted to give you $100. She said, oh, well, I'm not feeling well. I said, okay, well, then I'll talk to you later. I hung up the phone. All of a sudden, I heard something clack, 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 clack. Because that's when she had a raggedy car. I could hear it coming down there. See, I was like, I thought she said she was sick. She jumped out the car. She said, it's a miracle. The Bible says money is the answer to all things. Many of y'all right now, your issue got to deal with money. Now, trust me, it got to deal with money. It still ends up being back to money. And so I told him, I said, we're not going to be sitting up here with no women's meeting talking about, you know, when I was little and well, we done heard that story 10 years now. Time us to make some money. You bake cakes, we done got us a bakery. That lady who cooked, she need to have a catering company, just catering to everybody. Y'all don't understand. What is in your hands? Let's make this money. And if everybody was to pull together, the church wouldn't have to want for nothing. I went to Kenya. They built this church. And when I tell you, this church seats 25,000. And it's so many rich, they paid it debt free. And they be fighting over who going to pay. She said, I need some carpet. They raise their hand. Pastor. I pay. If she paid for the carpet the last time, it's my turn. Y'all hear this? And the other man would say, nah, you did the chairs. It's my turn to bring the chairs. They were fighting who was going to pay for it because they were so blessed. They knew that every time they did something in the church, God blessed them tremendously. We're getting to a place where we're going to be fighting who's going to pay for stuff to go in God's house. God says we can't make excuses. I'm here to transform your life. I don't want you to be struggling 20 years from now. Amen. The cycle needs to be broken. Amen. Tonight. Amen. Look at somebody and say, tonight. Amen. Look at them again and say, tonight. Amen. You shouldn't let the enemy rob you of any more days of being 38 years of being lame. The days of being lame is what? Over. You're not going to sit around anymore, what? Looking. You're not going to sit around, what? Waiting. It's a different kind of wait. See, the Bible says they that wait upon the Lord. Y'all ain't waiting on the Lord. You waiting on a man to help you. And then you be like, I'm waiting on God. God says, I ain't tell you to do that. I did not tell you to do that. You told yourself that. I'm waiting on God. God says, I'm waiting on you. I would never be able to do any of the things that God called me to do if I was sitting up there waiting on other people. I have broke barriers. I have made histories. I've gone places that a person in my generation or even in my lineage has never done. I've been places that my kids got something I could sit down and tell my grandchild. You know what? I've been to the Sahara Desert. How many people can say they went to the Sahara Desert? God has put that, and I'm telling you right now, and that's because God says, I got all this thing waiting on you and your destiny. And you know what? The reason why you're at this church, because your destiny is locked in this man and this woman. And the reason why they're here for you is their destiny is locked in you. So you don't talk about people when their destiny is locked in you. You don't sabotage people who holding the key to your destiny. Are y'all getting this? You don't do that. You just putting a hole in the grave for you. Because your destiny is locked in them. Every time they get up here, it's something in them that you need to get you to the place where God wants you to be. And then there's something you got to help them to get to the place where God wants them to be in this ministry. So you don't sabotage each other. In fact, you lift each other up. Come on, just stand to your feet right now. Thank you, Father. How many of you been at the place of excuses? Let's see your hand. You're at the place of excuse. You just, come on, let's just be honest. Because he wouldn't have been troubling me about this message if he wasn't. How many are ready to get out of that? No more excuses. I cannot hear. I want to hear you say not one time out of your mouth, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready to take this test. Don't open your mouth to say that. You got to guard your mouth because the enemy hears that. He hears that. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just raise your hand and say, God, I'm coming out of this. I'm coming out of this. You're going to see things begin to break over your life right now in the name of Jesus. I see God just pulling you out of those. Come on, just get out of those excuses. We make no more excuses. Because if God says he can do the impossible, we need to allow him to do the impossible. And for us to stop operating in the possible. What we can see, what's possible for us. Let him do the impossible in your life. Come on, raise your hand right now. Father, we break every spirit of excuses. God, you're meeting us right now. Tonight, you're meeting us right now. No more excuses for the things that you have called them into. Stir up the gifts for businesses to come forth. God, we streams of income to come out of this place.